episode 155 of Keaton's Craft Collective. I'm Louise and today I've got a blather with What Didn't You Do? A Waltzy Crack? Swap Section?
Legends of the Fall.
Legends of the Fall. Coming up, Review Section with Easy Japanese Quilt Style, The Uncal, Kids O'Clock Section, A Wee Me Section, and The Shopee Section. I sponsor this for my own crafty business, which is www.etsy.com/shop/keithnicecraft. All links are with the show notes, so get your cup of tea or your dram. I'll let you know what crack is in Keithness this week.
Now for the blather.
The blather. This blather kind of came about because somebody asked us if we saw the geysers in Iceland. And we had to say no. We did see one geyser, but no geysers. We did go looking for one geyser, but it wasn't in the place we thought the map said it was, so we missed out. And then we sort of thought, what else did we not do whilst we had the opportunity? Actually, quite a lot when it comes to Iceland. Washington DC, there's maybe a couple of things, but only one big one, and I'm not that bothered, really. I wondered about other places and things that I hadn't done when on holiday. For instance, I've never been around the Tower of London, because it was so expensive back in 1998, but it's somewhere I can now take the family, as they've seen enough of it on Horrible Histories and Jedward programmes. When I lived in Edinburgh, I only went to the Edinburgh Castle when it was doors open day and free. Although I would actually say it's very well worth the entry fee. I have never been to the Military Tattoo. However, I've been on walking routes around Edinburgh, been in the City Vaults, been up Camera Obscura. In London, I've been to the Houses of Parliament and Hamley's Toy Shop. I'd like to know where you've been on your holidays, be it this year or long, long ago, and you didn't go to the place, well, maybe you should have done. I don't regret not going to the things in Iceland, as it means we've got plenty to do when we go back in, say, a couple of years. And if any of you are thinking about Iceland, well, it is a wonderful place. Fly Iceland Air if you can. It's only 2 hours from Glasgow or Aberdeen. It is expensive just now, but if you do lots of research, then you can have a wonderful holiday there. And I'm enabling you to not just think about it, but seriously, go do it. How can I link this to craft? Me wonders. Well, I went to Iceland and I didn't buy a Lopi jumper. I was in Amish country and I didn't buy an Amish quilt, which Jan has, and they are divine. All handmade, obviously. Very, very well worth the money spent on them. I've never spun an entire jumper's worth of fleece and then knitted it. I've spun some, but then I sold it. I've made plenty of bags, but not ones with zips in, which I think zips are going to be my winter obsession. I've got Harris tweed, but I've not yet made anything out of it. I've bought the Amy Butler material and pattern, and it's sitting in a box. I was at Edinburgh Yarn Fest, and I didn't go to a class. I'm not into coulda, woulda, shoulda, but these are things I've had the opportunity to do. I think it doesn't matter so much what you didn't get around to doing than what you did do. And also it's good, also good to have things, something and somewhere to go back to, because it gives you a reason to go back. It's good to keep on dreaming the dreams. There's a song there. I dreamed a dream. I have seen the White House and I have stood beside Mons Meg. I have got an owl's jumper and a Hogwarts Express. I still aspire to getting a tour in the White House, going to New York or a Rhinebeck, getting a class with Gudrun Johnson, making that Amy Butler pattern myself without help, and you know, I'm okay with that. I hope you have dreams too, which is why maybe we should have I Dream a Dream series. They can be big or small. Where have you been that you didn't do the thing? Or, in craft, what is the thing? I think I'm going to go with the Amy Butler Liverpool smock at first. If you need a pee, stop and ponder, because it's time for the Daisy and Sandy giggle.
Hello.
Hello section. A Sandy hello to new to me, being with me a while now and being with me forever listeners. I very much appreciate you taking the time to download me and then listen to me spaff on, and I hope that you are enjoying yourself. A sandy hello to the new group members, Cotton Fresh, who's Suzanne from Scotland, Gretchen 623 from NYC. Oh, hey, I could visit you. It's part of getting the dreams. And Tia and Kat, who's Catherine from Minneapolis. I've had some nice messages from you, so hello. I do need to reply to some messages on Ravelry. I'm very aware of that. Random hellos are to Memphis Holly, Cottontail Gale, Purple Polly Pocket, Woolen Flute, Muzzer Z, Hannah Simps. Go out for that run, Hannah Simps. Well done.
What's the crack, said Trent.
What's the crack? Prince Charles got the pleasure of my bairn singing to him at church, and he told them that he very much enjoyed it and very well done in his very posh voice. And he laughed in the right places, and wee Daisy did all the actions. I met my Cagney to my Lacey in Thurso today. Huge congratulations to Louise and her lovely fella who got married on Monday and then came up on her honeymoon to the North Coast 500. She didn't just come to see me. They were doing the North Coast 500 and of course I seemed to be on the route. You know. So we met for coffee and poor Louise was party to my, I said the wrong thing, thinking it was the right thing, such as, I see red and I thought I said black. And when you say, why red? I look at you blankly wondering, why on earth you thought I said red? I know, I've actually always done this. But it remains the reason that I should never be a surgeon. Can you imagine that? Cut off this one. What did we cut off that one for? That's not funny. So, I'll never be a surgeon in that respect. And it's to Cardossi's Cafe in Thurso, not Capaldi's, which is in Brora. Anyway, we met. A bit of a digression, wasn't it? We had coffee. And talked and knitted and had coffee and talked and knitted and poor lovely fella's ears by the end of it were quite blown out. Especially because I'd had 2 cups of coffee. Whew. So we made a few plans, talked about things only podcasters would understand, such as editing software niggles. We decided that we wanted Blast a Podcast to spark up again. And yeah, we could have another Irish podcaster. And I still want a Welsh podcast. Come on, the Welsh. Let's get it on. What a lovely morning we had. Cagney Louise is quite modest. Yes, she is. And she has no idea that the influence that the British knitting scene she is having. The profile that she's given to the industry for her tenure so far has increased and increased and increased. It's a credit to you, Louise, and I'm sure that many of the farmers or critters that grow fibre in the UK are all having a knock-on effect from your podcast. Long may you continue. I bet you're blushing now. And I wonder if you've replied back to me. Take that compliment, put it in your back pocket for next time you need it. I completed the Aviemore Triathlon along with my lovely husband and various others from Caithness, and it was horrendous. There was 40 mile an hour winds coming down Loch Morlaith and they still went ahead. So yeah, it was really hard, especially in the water. I'm not the most confident of swimmer. I've got a decent breaststroke. I don't do front crawl, and I was with lots of other people who said that they only did breaststroke, which was great for me. We got to the first inflatable bit after waiting for an hour and 15 minutes because first we have to watch the long people, the long route, go in, do their 2 laps and come out. And I'm watching and I'm thinking, they're taking ages. It normally doesn't take them that long to do this. So we watched Peter come out, then Hamper, then Richard, then Graham, then Sandy, and it just seemed to take forever. However, then we got in and we got the first inflatable and Lassie beside me just turned around and said, I can't do this, as the waves went over our head. They were breaking over our head in the loch. I can't tell you how hard I found that swim. However, it's done. There was white tips on the edges of that and there was no respite from it. So I had to keep on swimming. We went to see Dory on the Friday and I was keep on swimming, keep on breathing, because I had to turn my head to the side because the waves were going over my head. I was really scared and it was quite horrendous, and 27 people did not finish, mostly because of the swim, but most of the 27 people did go on to do the rest of the triathlon, which was good, which were allowed. So I was really pleased that I finished it, but oh my. So everything now is fine. You know, It's not Lochmore Lick swimming. Seriously, it's not Lochmore Lick swimming. We've been in swimming in the loch here, and it was fine. And I just thought, oh, look at me, I can do this again. So, all eyes to the prize or the Craggy Island Triathlon in October now. So I've got to do more sea swimming. Yeah. So, right, back to the yarny stuff. Recently, on the news, most of you have seen this, there was a ball of yarn found from 3,000 years ago near Cambridge in the UK in a bog. And it's held up pretty well. I don't know what the colour was, now it's brown. But it shows that humans were crafty way back then. And also, closer to home, a facial reconstruction has been made of a young woman who died more than 3,700 years ago. The woman's bones, as I'm reading this directly from the BBC website, including skull and teeth, were discovered at Achavanach in Caithness in 1987. Known as Ava, or Eva, an abbreviation of Achavanach, she's the subject of a long-term research project managed by archaeologist Mia Hull. Forensic artists Hugh Morrison, a graduate of University of Dundee, created the reconstruction. Ava's remains, along with other artifacts found with her, are held in the care of the Caithness Horizons Museum in Thurso. Back to me. I've seen the skull a few times and I've spoken to it too. It's like, oh, look at you. Hello, skull. See you people on your NC500 trips. You should go in and see it too, because the museum's free. I would never have guessed at how beautiful her reconstruction is. Woot woo. I wonder if Ava was crafty, or maybe her people were. So there's plenty of other artifacts in the museum too, and the Achavanach Standing Stones area is well worth a look. I'm considering taking sponsorship for the podcast. I'd like to hear your feedback. I've mooted this before and I haven't taken any so far, and I've been okay with my own promotion, but it's an avenue that I'm looking down. So if any of you are interested in being a sponsor of my podcast, then get in touch and I'll consider it all with a furrowed brow.
The review section.
Review section. I took out of Thurso Library a couple of books, the first one being Easy Japanese Quilt Style by Julia Davis and Anne Muxworthy. And the second is The Illustrated Encyclopedia of Tartan by Ian Zakzake and Charles Phillips. Both books are paperback, both 8x11 inches, I found the imperial tape measure. And the one I'm reviewing this episode is the quilt book, but the tartan book is pretty good. And I've added it to my Amazon wishlist as I think it's a good resource for all things tartan and its history. Except to say that it does not have Mackay as one of the major clan tartans, which I completely disagree with being a Mackay. But there you go, they can't all be in the know like I am. So, Easy Japanese Quilt by Julia Davis and Anne Muxworthy, and it's published by David and Charles, and it'll cost you £15.99, US $24.99, or Canadian $29.99. There's 128 pages with 10 stylish but simple and projects inspired by Japanese fabric. The reason I took it out the library is that some of my quilter friends have bought some Japanese fabrics this year. One's made a very beautiful disappearing nine-patch quilt with her charm pack, and the other has a length of shashishko fabric, which I really wish she'd stop buying, because I still can't see it. And another has a panel of traditional Japanese lady, and thought, what does this book suggest to do for all these things? It suggests 3 wall hangings, 2 quilts, 1 doll, 2 bags, and a sewing set, and a table mat and runner set. Plus, you get different styles of the bags, and there's a cushions to go with the quilts, and the sewing set is 3 items of pincushion, needle and scissor case. There's techniques and equipment pages at the back, but you know, I don't think I would refer to them too much. I don't think that there's enough techniques for a complete beginner, and a more experienced quilter wouldn't look at the equipment anyway, other than to see if there was a new gadget that they don't have. But the actual projects themselves can be done by quite an inexperienced quilter. Well, the simpler projects can, and then you gain confidence and get up to the geisha doll at the end, which looks pretty fiddly. There's templates, but you need to enlarge them, so be aware of that. I hate that. I do like the Japanese fabrics, but I have been quite puzzled how to make the best out of them, as it seems to be quite a precious kind of material with its gold outlines and its beautiful prints, especially the panels. What do you do with a panel other than a wall hanging, and how do you make it? Wait, this book does unlock some mystery. I particularly like the first project, which is Yonju Sankaku Bag, and it's made from a charm pack or 26-inch squares, and then you use the windmill construction, and it gives a roomy bag with fabric tags. I kind of need a new handbag, so this one's caught my eye. The instructions in the project seem okay, and then at the end it gives further suggestions on how to bling up your bag using some other fabrics. There's an alternative Hoko version, which is similar, but using only two fabrics, and then you bling it up with flowers at the end. I wasn't so fussed with the sewing set or the table mats and runner, but there was some interesting techniques in there, so it's worth having a look at. I like the styles of the mats, but not the sewing set. And as you go through the projects, it's adding the extra techniques, such as buttonhole, circular quilting, which does come into later projects. There's a quilt that has muted and unstated fabrics, which at first in a book full of glorious colours seems a bit dull. But when you study the simple design quilting and patterns, it adds up to something that would complement any sitting room or bed. There's also cushions to match this and the other quilt in the book, which I think was pretty cool and well thought out. The geisha doll at the end of the book is 18 inches tall and can be given to a child or an adult, but obviously if you're given to children, you will adhere the headdresses and bedding accordingly. The older the child, the more elaborate you can be. The younger it has to be, the more chew-proof it has to be. I'm sure Daisy would like these, but I'm not willing to make it, and I don't want one either. I like the book, though. I really like the bag patterns, and I wondered if my William Morris charms would do, but they are the wrong size, and there's not enough of them. I like how they say that there's 10 projects, but they actually have extra versions and wee add-on bits, so the cushions and the extra types of bag. The layout's pretty good. The photos are clear by Kim Sayre and Carl Admonson, and every page is well filled and used up. Diagrams are good, and I think that the book is professionally produced. This book is Easy Japanese Quilt Style by Julia Davis and Anne Muxworthy. Uncal. We're kind of coming to the end of the Uncal. So if you have a WIP that you had picked up from the 1st of June when the Uncal ended, you have to finish it by September 1st. And you're entered into the second drawing for even more luscious bounty, which includes the pattern by Jane Sheelan, whose podcast is funny as anything. Also be noted that your WIP doesn't need to be something that was in the Uncal, but something that you hadn't worked on in a while, as a couple of you had asked about that. It would be good if you did actually start working on your Leave It project as well, because you loved it once enough to start it. And it's still languishing there, poor thing. Also, I hope you're entering these projects into all the other cals, such as Stash Dash and the Great Outdoors Stash Dash Knitting Butterflies one, and the other ones out and about. I have a few finished entrants, and if you have finished yours but not yet put up a photo, then please do go so and put in there, because you don't have much time left. There's prizes, don't you know? Plus, Purple Polly Pocket has won the Frog In It section. She chose the Cave Point Shawl by Paula Emmons Feasley, and she's finished it already. So see, if you win your prize, you could actually do something. I'm well impressed. I really, really like your shawl, Purple Polly Pocket.
The swap section.
On to the swap. Legends. Legends.
Legends.
2016 has stolen a fair lump of our legends. It all started with David Bowie, and it just keeps on going. To celebrate them, we are having a swap of legendary status. So you have to sign up by the 10th of September. I have the Ravelry thread open, and I'm actually reading verbatim for what I wrote in it. State who your legend is that you admire and you want to celebrate. They could be alive or dead, infamous, or someone you think deserves to be highlighted. Could be crafty or not crafty. Give a little biography for the lesser known people, please. The total cost should be £40. There will be three standard items in this. Item 1. Has to be made by you and reflecting the legend is useful to the person receiving it. Item 2. Has to be something of use to the person receiving it and reflecting the legend. Item 3. Has to be edible and reflecting the legend. Be aware of custom restrictions. There can be more items included, but do not go overboard, then your swap partner won't feel bad. For instance, I have had in the past somebody who went way over the price, and then the person who got it felt bad because they hadn't put in as much, and they then had to send, felt they had to send something else. So this is why I say the total cost should be £40. Also, please put in a note explaining everything. You must post this by Halloween. And have a check-in to me the first week of October. If you sign up for this, then please, I expect you to deliver illness and serious issues allowing. When the 10th of September comes around, I'll close the thread and ear-burn everyone. When I open it again, you will be able to go in and choose your swap partner. It will be a case of first come, first served. And if there isn't an even number, I will panic about that at the time. As an example, my legend is Tarzan. It's not actually Johnny Cash. But Tarzan is from a book. He lived with animals and had a friend called Jane and is easily researchable. I like the colours brown and blue. I would be happy with a hat or scarf or cowl or gloves if knitted. If sewn, I love bags. If wooden, I love wee bowls or a darning egg, for instance. For the food, I'm allergic to walnuts, almonds, pecans, Brazil nuts, but I am fine with everything else. So, say item one could be brown furry gloves which look like the monkeys that Tarzan knows handmade by you. Item 2 could be a hank of jungle coloured yarn or fibre or some printed material. Item 3 could be a lion bar or jelly snakes or monkey nuts. I can't eat these, I just don't. I then go in and I choose knitter eggs. Their legend is Elvis. Knitter eggs likes the colours gold and white and silver and would be happy with a cape or shawl or gloves or spins. They would be happy with all foods but lives in Australia, so we can't send certain foods such as honey or seeds. Item 1 is a cape made from gold and silver and has the king double knitted on it. Item 2 is some black fibre, just like Elvis's hair. Item 3 is hamburger sweeties. Then, because I've not yet spent near £40, I send some bits and pieces, pencils, notepads, stitch markers, which are sparkly, like Elvis.
Uh-huh.
So, you choose the person that you're going to swap with, and you make the stuff for them in their legend, and you get back stuff in your legend. And I think that's the best way to do it, because whilst I like Tarzan, he's not my legend. My legend's Johnny Cash this time. So if I was to then get stuff from your legend, which was Tarzan, I would be like, oh, that's really good. But you would be having my Johnny Cash stuff, and I would be a bit upset. Hopefully you can understand it. That's exactly what it was written down as. So please do go and sign in there. There's a few. We've got David Bowie. Guess who that was? Louise. So we've got a few in there, and it'll be quite interesting.
It's time for Kids O'Clock! Ding-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling!
Kids O'Clock is back after a long absence. I have Sandy and Daisy, and Sandy first. So we have Sandy here, and he has something to say to Louise.
Thank you!
Thank you!
And Daisy. Now, Louise bought Sandy and Daisy some Nano Blocks, and I thought it would be good if Sandy told you about Nanoblocks, because I mentioned them the last episode. Sandy, you're the kid.
Nanoblock is an extremely small building block. This amazingly small micro-sized block makes it possible to create more detailed and even smaller projects than what can be made with a standard-sized block. Nanoblock is a stimulation and entertaining hobby material for everybody, especially for grown-ups. Warning, choking hazard. Small parts not for children under 3 years.
Your little packet of Nano Blocks.
A Stegosaurus.
And what was Daisy's?
Penguin.
And how much fun did you have making it?
Very fun.
Say it with conviction.
Great fun was doing it.
Cool. Would you recommend this to people about your age?
Yeah.
Yes!
Cool. So, one last thank you.
Thank you!
Thank you!
The this nano Lego is tiny and not really for bairns under the age of, I'm going to put that in my mouth and I can't do this as I have no patience age. But it's immense fun for those of you that and us that like Lego with wee tiny puzzles. Unless you can read Japanese really well, that is, the instructions are pictorial and in Japanese and not as good as the Legos. But thank you so much to Louise and our lovely fella. Now, I actually know what his name is, but I'm not sure she's told you, so that's why I refer to him as the lovely fella, because it's not my place to tell you just in case she didn't want you to know. Fame would just go to his head anyway. Can't have that now, can we? He's lovely, really is. Then there's Daisy. Daisy, we're here to talk about what you got recently. What is it?
A slot mini sewing machine.
Ah, cool. Right, I got this from Hobbycraft and I actually thought it was a children's sewing machine. And then I read the instructions when we were trying to work it and it says not for children. How old are you?
7, coming 8.
You sure are. Do you like it?
Yes, I love it. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Mummy.
You're welcome. That's nice. It is quick and easy to use, lightweight and portable, and it comes pre-threaded and ready to use. What have you made with it so far?
Bags, little bags. Just little bags.
And?
A teddy. Oh yeah, a blindfold for my eyes.
What did you make a blindfold for?
I don't know, I just randomly made it.
Okay.
For hide and seek and that.
Alright, well, it's important. And for these light summer nights, because it's still light way past your bedtime.
Yeah, because I don't have that dark windows.
Now, once you got used to using it, did you find it easy to use?
Yeah.
And how do you make it work?
Well, there's a foot paddle. You can use batteries or plug it in, and there's a foot pedal with it.
Mm-hmm. And what did Grandma give you?
My grandma gave me purple thread, gold thread and white thread.
Ooh, we've not actually got to that yet because we haven't used up the pre-threaded thread that comes with it yet. It's got two speeds on it and it's cute. It's, how big did we say? 20 centimetres by. Now, we've also had the big safety talk about do not put your fingers too close to the needle, haven't we?
Yes.
Because?
You'll get thread through your fingers.
You get a needle through your finger. So what do you think that you'll make with this once you get more used to it?
Probably teddies and that.
Oh, cool.
And.
But you're only allowed to use it when?
I'm only allowed to use it when Mummy's there.
And why is that?
In case I get the finger through the needle.
Yes, the needle through the finger. Oh, Papa, are you done? Right, say goodbye.
Bye.
Now I think that this machine's good. It's okay. I realise now it's supposed to be a first go into sewing. It's not for children. Because it says, this is not for children. This is not a toy. But, you know, with supervision, it's fine for them. The tension knob is not worth anything. As it's apparently fiddled with in the factory. But that's not good for when you need to change the tension on the thread. Because you're not just going to be sewing with one fabric forever. So beware of that. It feels cheap in comparison to my Elna, but then at $14.99 or thereabouts, it is cheap. But it goes. It comes with extra needles, bobbins, and a bit more thread. Plus, you can use it with just batteries. Say if you're going camping and you want to take something with you, your caravan or your caravanette on your NC500 trip. I'd love to say, oh yeah, I'm going to use this when I'm going to sewing day because it's really light and easy to set up, but it's nowhere near as good as my own sewing machine, which I'm really used to now. And if it works for me, then I don't want to forgo the luxury a good quality machine would give me. However, this is teaching Daisy about sewing in a straight line, how to sew two bits of material together to get a seam, how to put in a seam allowance and get familiar with materials and fabrics. Sandy's had a shot too, and he was way more comfortable with manoeuvring the material about because he's been using my machine a few times now and he's that bit older. I'm not going to say that this goes without saying that the machine is not just for Daisy in our house, as I'm a big believer in they both learn everything, that they can both do whatever they want to do, and they will leave my house when they're adults, being able to adult by sewing buttons, cooking their own dinners, cleaning their own stuff. granted, right now there's not much cleaning going on until the wrath of Mummy Doom is unleashed, but the reason Daisy got one and Sandy didn't was because I was in Hobbycraft. Have I told you that, I was in Hobbycraft? I was in America too, so hang around, I might mention that too. I was trying to get them a wee present, as mums tend to when they've been left alone all weekend with Grandma, who spoils them rotten anyway with pizza, baking, too much TV. I don't know why they want to come home sometimes. Plus, it was to mask actually how much I was spending on Hobbycraft. I was getting stuff for them too, and I thought, oh, that's cool. There was a really cool Star Wars Doodles comic book that Sandy would love, and it was $9.99. And I thought, maybe I could get them for Christmas, and then I'd find something else as just to hand them over. And there was a sun catcher with paint for £1. I thought, that's all right. Do you think Daisy would like that? But there was only the letter D, and there was no letter S. And, well, Sandy probably wouldn't want one anyway. So it was beside the Airfix models, and then we thought, well, maybe we'll get Daisy an Airfix model, because she's been helping Sandy paint his most recent Harrier Jump Jake model, which he's finished over the wet days of the holidays. There was nothing there that jumped out, because she's not really into planes. But when we got home, she said, I like minis. And I went, oh, they had a mini. So we're going to get a mini for her next time. I then saw wee sewing machines, and I thought, what about this? This could be a Christmas present too. And then he goes, oh, just give it to them now when they get home, because they've been quite good. Which period was it? I can't quite remember. Nah, they are quite good children, mostly. And then I was at the checkout. Then I saw Lego figures for £1, and I thought, ugh, that would have been better. However, they're both really happy with both presents, and I had, Mum, can you help me? Can you help me with the sewing machine? But you know what? She's actually getting quite good. I have to be in the room with her and quite close to her so she knows that she doesn't go over her fingers. But I think she's quite conscious of that. And there's a way that this machine doesn't have reverse. It only has go forward, and it only has straight stitch. But sometimes you don't need anything else than that. You should never be scared of a sewing machine. You should just be respectful of a sewing machine.
Coming up, it's near.
Coming up. The Loch Ness Knit Fest is on September the 29th to October the 2nd, in and around Inverness, but alas, I won't be going. Unless somebody takes me, which I wouldn't say no to. I think there is a few going from Caithness, so expect to hear good things. Helen of Ripplescraft is going. Oh, now, I must mention her Mary's Meals yarn. Helen's lovely anyway, and I noted this on her Twitter feed, but this is what her newsletter said for those of you who don't get it. Helen has a yarn called Crisis in Malawi, and from every hank which she sells, she'll be donating £6.10 to a charity called Mary's Meals. This is a Scottish-based charity, but its work extends far and wide. Their main aim is to feed children who live in areas where there's famine, and Malawi has experienced one of the worst periods of famine the country has ever known. Scotland is very close linked to Malawi, but her husband, Stefan, has personal links to the country, so she decided to choose Mary's Meals as her target charity on this occasion. The colourway will be available until the end of August, but if it's showing as sold out on the website before, then do get in touch and she'll add some more hanks. It will be dyed to order, so there'll be a delay between you ordering it and getting posted off. You can order it from www.ripplescraft.com. Many of you have bought a hank in the special colourway, for which she thanks you most sincerely. We are already to the point of enabling Mary's Meals to feed 38 children in Malawi one hot meal a day for a year. She'd love to make it 40. So how cool is that? Helen, I really hope that you can. A bit further away coming up is the Hobbycraft Sewing and Stitching Show at the SECC on the 27th to the 30th of October, which sounds pretty good. They have wee workshops that you can go on to in the day without booking. There's lots of Christmas goodies to buy already made and stuff to make your own. I really like this one. It's so Christmassy feeling in October time when you're like, yay, let's make all the Christmas cards. Then further off is Festy Wool, which is on the North Herefordshire College Hitchin on Saturday 12th of November, and Gardening Witch I think, is exhibiting there for her third year. Gardening, which, if you give me a little update on that, would be grand. Of course, the Edinburgh Yarn Fest is on the 10th and 11th of March, and I see the Knitting and Stitching Show is returning to Edinburgh in April next year too. So there's plenty coming up and saving up for.
The beaker section. Me, 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 me!
Me, me, me section. Knitting front. Ooh. I made the wee fluffy rabbit from the Val Pierce Knitted Rabbits book. Very cute. It's made in pieces and sewn together whilst I was watching the Olympic boxing. I used safety eyes and Daisy has tried to claim it, but I am keeping it in my handbag just now. She's called it Nibbles. I'm calling it my wee comforter. I was petting it when I was waiting on my dentist appointment yesterday. It worked a bit too. It was like a wee child with its comforter. The pattern was fine, barring in the sewing up instructions, which could have been a little bit better. I would have liked a little bit more of a sew it along the length or the width type of instruction, but the book made me smile quite considerably. Plus, now I'm on a bit of a toy kick. When I was doing the Aviemore Triathlon, I had a red squirrel run out across my path, which was really cool and cheered me up immensely after the swim when I was on the cycle. So I have a wee kit for a red squirrel, which is from a Let's Knit magazine last year, and I think it's an Amanda Berry pattern. And also, I bought that Let's Knit magazine because it had a Highland Coo pattern in it. And guess who it was by? Val Pierce. So they're doing things for using up your fun for. I was in Hobbycraft on the way home from Aviemore. Did I tell you that? I think I might have. And I bought some green forest fabric for my tartan bags, which I'm going to go into next week now that the bairns are back at school. And I finished painting the outside window frames of my house. Phew, just the wood to start chopping now. I also bought some white cotton in double knit weight to make a Moomin that I have a pattern from last year's Inside Crochet magazine. In fact, I think that was about last April because I remember having this when I was at my retreat last year. These will both be for me. I'm selfish that way. Although they will likely end up with Daisy or Sandy, but that's okay. I know they're really mine after all. I have started on the heel for Daisy's sock using the West Yorkshire Spinner's Sockweight yarn in the Christmas colours from last year. And I'm using Susan B. Anderson's Smooth Operator socks. And I need to go back into my car to get more done. I've been mainly working on my Colour Collusion shawl by Jan M. Hamby. And I've marked the exact spot where I need to make the middle decrease when I've been watching the Olympics whilst working on it. It did take me 2 goes to pick up the correct number of stitches equally this time. I always mark the side that I'm picking up, and then I go in half and I mark there, and then I mark it in half again, and I work out how many stitches I need for that section. It wasn't a problem at all the first time, but I had to have a bit of a fiddle on the second time. However, I'm now lashing through it, and the yarn's held up well to being ripped out and reworked. And I'm using, for those that are new, yarns from the plain Blueface Leicester in a gradient which goes from blue through to green to yellow. And I'm not got to the knot, but I'm going to redo it with a better knot than I've got knot now. That didn't work. Not funny at all. Oh yes! See, I've got the Olympics on in the background and it's the BMX! I know Team GB are out of this, but oh, there's goes somebody. The BMX is so much fun. It's so quick. They are mad. Anyway, back to the podcast. It'll be so done by the time you get to hear this. If you fancy a garter stitch shawl that's honestly easy to work on and it's in front of the TV, such as Olympic. Oh, there's another one. Olympic BMX. As long as you put a stitch marker in the right place, that is. Then give the collusion a wee looky or a big looky and buy it. Jan M. Hamby. Hi, Dale. On to the sewing front. Caithness Quilters will be having another exhibition, but this time in the library, Wick Library, and it's going to be from the 15th to the 23rd of September. So if you're in the area, get yourself to St. Fergus Gallery and see some amazing work, but use the white gloves. Touch it, right? I don't want your mucky fingerprints on my quilt because I've seen everybody touching. Oh, look, I'm going to have a look on the back. So there was also Daisy's Sewing Machine Fun, which we've talked about. I've been working on a crocheted toothless dragon from How to Train Your Dragon Pattern by Nicole's Nerdy Knots. And I've got actually a lot less to do than I thought. I couldn't actually understand the instructions for one part, so I'll have to go back to that. Because sometimes it doesn't make sense, and then you go back and, oh, of course, yeah. But it's been good crack working on him in the daylight, because he's black. I'm using black double knit acrylic Women's Institute yarn, which seems to be holding up rather well. And also I saw on Facebook or in Twitter or something that Nicole's Nerdy Knots has been putting some Pokemons and Pokeballs knitted and crocheted up and left them in Pokestops for the Pokemon players, which I thought was really, really cool. So well done to you. Now, I have a thing to say about acrylic. I have a fair bit in my stash, and sometimes money dictates what I can and can't afford, and also knowledge and what's relatively available to me in the area and in the past. So I have accumulated a fair bit. I like it for baby items. It washes way easier and better than wool, and mostly holds its shape a bit better with my knitting. But recently, I've been pondering what a world I'm leaving for my children. With acrylic yarn, it's not going to biodegrade anytime soon, so I'm thinking a bit about that. So I'm going to try to not buy any more acrylic. Plus, I'm going to use up what I've got, and if I'm not going to be leaving some acrylic slow to biodegrade yarns, I'm going to make it into something beautiful, which is why I used the fun far for the rabbit. There wasn't actually an awful lot of knitting there. Just been working on... Oh, I tell you what I did do when I was sitting watching the Olympics. Are you getting the theme? There's the Olympics. There's still BMXing. And I was looking for a needle. Or no, I was looking for the crochet hook to do the Toothless Dragon. That's what I was doing. And I was in my bag of tools. And in there was a wee bag that had a pair of socks that I knitted quite a long time ago. And I've never worn them because they were too baggy, and it maybe had too much stitches on. There wasn't enough nylon in the yarn, which was actually stored away. Richard had bought it for me, and it's beautiful. Lovely, lovely dark blues and blacks. And I think the USA one. Yeah, USA one that BMX. Good for him. And I'm easily distracted. So, one of you lovely listeners, Bobby, I haven't heard from you in a long time, Bobby. If you're still about, can you reach out and just say hello? She'd sent me some elastic thread from Clover, and also she sent me this double-ended needle, and you can use it to thread through elastic into cuffs of socks or anything else that you need elastic for, and you can knit with it too. So I had started it, but for some reason or other it seemed to be quite difficult, or I don't know why. But I sat one morning and just threaded the elastic in through the cuffs of the socks, and whilst I don't know whether I'm going to be using them for a lot of walking, they seem to stay up much, much better. So I put in 4 rows each, so that's probably why I was fed up, because it took quite a while to do. But when you're watching, I don't know if it was hockey or whatever it was, beach volleyball's been hilarious. The triathlon yesterday was stupendous. And, oh, there's been so much good sport on. Really, really loved watching the Olympics, even with all the controversy that's going on. It's just watching people embrace and celebrate. Just, it's good for the soul. So I've got to wear my socks. I'll actually put them in the wash, and I'm going to see if maybe they'll shrink just a little bit and maybe they'll fit a bit better. Hopefully they'll not grow too much.
Shoppy section.
The shop has a couple of things in it. There's a red McGregor tartan bag, a handbag, a notebook, and that's it. It will be restocked quite soon. I've got some material cut ready to start sewing next week. If you feel you'd like to contribute to my continued running of the podcast but get stuff back as well, then do please visit www.etsy.com/shop/KathynsCraft and get in touch if there's something that you want that I don't have that I could possibly get. I'll tell you honestly if I can't get it or it's not something that I'm able to make, but if you fancy something and it's not there, just give us a shout.
Blah 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 section.
Thank you very much for listening. I appreciate you taking the time to download and then listen to me splaff on. My email is kathynscraftcollective@gmail.com. I'm on Ravelry as Louise Hunt, Etsy, Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram and Facebook as kathynscraft. You can access the Flickr photos from Louise J 2010 or via the Podbean site as www.kathynscraftcollective.podbean.com. The photos are down the right hand side. The intro and the outro are from Free Music Archive and it's called Entertainment for the Braindead by a Friend. Not that I think any of you are brain dead, I just like the introduction and it's tuneful. Thank you for listening and keep on crafting.
Hello everybody.
Right, stop fiddling with it. Right. Don't touch the microphone.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
And don't go too close because that's what happens.